It is Army-Navy week of the 2023 college football season. This is the We Hate Your Team podcast, a proud member of the VSN Collegiate Network. I'm Kelly Ford, and with me, as always, is my friend and co-host, Zach King. Kinger, we have one regular season game left. It's Army-Navy. It gets a standalone, man. How are we doing this week?
Doing great, Kelly. And I absolutely love now this week. You know, normally you're up in our intro announcing what week we're on. Army-Navy. It's Army-Navy week. It's designated as that. It gets its own standalone. And we're absolutely in for another fantastic game this week. And we're fresh off conference championship weekend. A ton of drama surrounding that with the college football playoff. But overall, I'd say a very successful slate of games on Saturday. They turned out to live up, according to expectations, most of the games met them in that sense. But obviously a lot of drama, questions around the CFB committee, which I know we're going to get into tonight. But we're winding down the season here, just about a week away from bowl season really kicking in. And I know we got some big things planned for that. But looking forward to diving into your thoughts on the CFP and then debating Army-Navy here in a little bit.
Yeah, King. I mean, with only Army-Navy as the game this week to break down, before we get to it, like you said, let's talk about conference championship game weekend. We don't usually spend a lot of time breaking down the last week's game just because we have so much to talk about in the upcoming week. This week, with only one game, we're going to give it its due diligence, and we're going to break it down for you all. But before we get to that, King, let's talk a little bit about the conference championship game slate. Just off the top here, looking really quickly at a recap of what we saw last week. Liberty beats New Mexico State in the Conference USA championship game. Washington, Kinger, beats Oregon as a 9.5, 10-point underdog. Second time the Huskies got the Ducks. That was in the Pac-12 championship game on Friday night. Then we transitioned into Saturday, and just kind of chronologically through the day, Texas really dismantled Oklahoma State in the Big 12 championship. Miami took down Toledo in a bit of an upset in the MAC championship up in Detroit. Boise State goes on the road and beats UNLV for the Mountain West championship. King, how about Boise State? Fired their coach like not even a month ago, ends up winning another conference championship. So many conference championships, it seems, in the last 15, 20 years on the blue turf there. Then the big one, King, in the SEC, Alabama pulls off what has to be, I mean, the shocker of the day. And I say that not because it was a massive spread. It wasn't. It was less than a touchdown. But Georgia, you know, 29-game winning streak, hadn't lost since the 2021 SEC championship game against the Crimson Tide. Well, Alabama gets it done, wins by 3 in that one. SMU goes on the road and beats Tulane in the American Athletic Conference championship game. Troy takes care of business at home against App State in the Sun Belt. Michigan shuts out Iowa 26-0 in Indianapolis in the Big Ten championship, King. And the night was capped off. Actually, it was the same time, but at night, ACC championship game, Florida State 16-6. That defense looked phenomenal. Apparently, the offense didn't look good enough. We're going to get to that. But King, Florida State takes down Louisville, caps off a 13-0 season, winning the ACC championship. Before we get to the committee's decisions, King, because I know we want to talk about it, people want to hear about it, let's talk generally. I just named all 10 games. What stood out to you from conference championship game weekend?
Well, let's just start with the big game, the Pac-12 championship game Friday night. And this was something that Thursday night, you know, we were a couple days past recording. The episode had already dropped. But I was really starting to examine the gambling card of the weekend. And sitting there, Oregon as a 9.5-point favorite, I really started to question, am I looking into this too much? I saw a lot of gamblers, a lot of people tended to lean towards Oregon. I was in the position where I thought Oregon was going to win the football game. But if you're looking at that holistically, looking from the first game into the second game, 9.5 points was a ton. And as the day went on Friday, I decided, okay, we're going to go ahead and bet Washington on this. And I just had a hunch that it was going to end up being a good football game. Washington matches up in the trenches with Oregon. Oregon was maybe a little bit more physical. They didn't get those fourth down conversions that we talked about in the first game. But offensively, Penix was going to be able to move the ball. And I necessarily didn't know. I wasn't picking Washington to win the game. But Oregon, which was a team that had really built itself around that physicality, that identity of being that strong, good defense, best defense in the Pac-12, as I crowned it last week, Washington exposed them a little bit. And they were ready to play. You could tell they felt that disrespect as a 9.5-point underdog. And I was just happy we got it turned into a pretty good football game. But for Washington to jump off to that start that it did, I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. And really looking back at it, even though it may have felt that the momentum was going in opposite directions for those programs, 10 points, we should have known it was going to be a good football game. I think some people really got baited in to the Oregon hype. And I was wrong on my pick there, but for Washington to perform in the manner that it did, I was very impressed. And Kalen DeBoer, I think I'm ready to crown him as one of the premier coaches in college football.
Yeah, King. I mean, I'll touch on the last point first. Kalen DeBoer. I mean, I saw a stat. I don't remember what it was, but it was like looking at his head coaching career record at all stops, at all levels. The man wins games. I mean, the man wins, and it doesn't matter where he is. It doesn't matter who he's playing. He wins. King, I will say, I mean, my pick was wrong too, right? In terms of our pick 'em competition, just the straight up who's going to win. Listen, you're a 9.5 point favorite. Like, if you're picking against them in a straight up pick 'em, good for you. Like, you put it on the line and you knew something. Good for you. I will say the model had Oregon -8.5, which actually I think that's exactly where the game opened, and then it moved towards Oregon a little bit more. So based on the closing, I would have been with you, King, on the Washington and the points, which obviously Washington won it outright. So yeah, I just think Washington's a really tough matchup for Oregon. Like, honestly, King, I think if Oregon plays against some of these other teams that I have power rated at the top, Oregon's still my number three power rated team. And I know that drives Washington fans crazy. It drives a lot of college football fans crazy. They say, Kelly, how can you have Oregon at number three in your power ratings, Washington at number 13? I mean, there's still a significant gap there. If those teams played tomorrow, King, I would make that game on a neutral field. I'd make that game Oregon -7. And like, again, it was 8.5 last week, right? So there was a point and a half of difference, but I'd still make it Oregon -7. Listen, I think it's a bad matchup for Oregon. If Oregon were, and that's all credit to Washington. That is not taking anything away from Washington. Washington has beaten Oregon now twice by 6 total points, might I add. But hey, they've won the games. That's what's important. I really like this Washington program. I'm hoping for the best for them in the playoff. They're a fun team to watch. Oregon, though, against, you know, a Michigan, an Ohio State, a Texas, like these other teams that I have highly power rated. I intentionally did not mention Georgia or Alabama there. Oregon probably, I mean, they're the favorite maybe in some of those games, in most matchups, and they probably have a really good chance to win those games. I just think it's a really tough matchup, the Ducks against the Huskies there. And hey, that's what college football is all about. It's all about matchups. It's all about rivalries. They played for this trophy, and Washington got it done once again. So I'm with you, King. That was a super, super exciting game, and it really set the stage for Saturday. It's like, okay, now we know one spot is taken in the CFP. We thought the winner of that game was probably in, given the committee's love for Oregon leading into that. They were sitting at number 5. You know, if they win, they probably go above Washington, and is that going to be enough for them to secure a spot? Well, there was no what if. Washington was 13-0, and we thought, hey, Power 5 champion, 13-0, you're in. And we were right about Washington, maybe not about Florida State, which we'll get to. King, on Saturday then, any games that really caught your eye? I mean, obviously the SEC championship game was a big one. Obviously all eyes were on the ACC championship game at night. Certainly touch on those, but any others as well that maybe you had your eyes on? I'm looking through the scores. It was fun watching them, but man, there wasn't, in the big time games, like the power conference games, not a ton of drama in those other ones. Like the MAC game was pretty interesting if you were watching that one too at noon, along with the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, Texas got on Oklahoma State early and really didn't look back. That was one, looking back on, I think we could have probably taken advantage as gamblers of getting on the Longhorns in that one. But we were right about the upset. SMU on the road, backup quarterback and everything. Kelly, we talked about that defense. The game played out pretty much almost exactly how we thought it was. SMU was able to grind it down, make the plays that they needed to, and really the backup quarterback play really was not, or the quarterback play was where it needed to be in that one. The night game, that was, you know, you get the 11 a.m. Big 12 slate with Texas blowing out Oklahoma State. Night game, obviously not that intriguing with Michigan as well. Michigan took care of business, also anticipated that. I don't know if you saw this, Kelly, but I saw on Twitter today that there was a, I believe it was like a Topgolf-like place, right, or establishment, Topgolf-like establishment in Iowa that was offering people who booked booths free beer until Iowa scored their first points of the game on Saturday
to
try and draw attention. So needless to say, that place was out quite a few dollars by the end of the evening with Iowa putting up the goose egg. But yeah, they were entertaining, and we thought we had a pretty good understanding of what was going to be in the CFP heading into Sunday. I thought it was pretty clear, and I thought I was going to get my wish, Kelly, of a non-SEC champion or playoff for the first time, but that was obviously not the case. And Liberty, I think I said last week it was going to be SMU or Tulane that was in the Group of Five Bowl, but Liberty taking care of business again, and they will be the Group of Five representation. I think, they're playing Oregon. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, things went, I think, pretty much for the most part how we thought they were going to go. We knew that Alabama game was going to be a little bit of a toss-up, but I thought everybody pretty much handled the business, their business, the way they were supposed to this last weekend.
Yeah, I'm with you, King. And man, I did not see that about the Iowa Topgolf. Listen, Topgolf, I mean, that's a lucrative business. Everyone loves going there, and they can really, you know, your charges add up quick and you have a great time. I'm surprised they didn't go out of business that night. I mean, out in Iowa, these people, I mean, they're big, big Iowa fans, right? Obviously, you're rooting for your team. You want them to score. You want them to win and all this. But they're also going to sit there and drink their miseries away. Hey, we're getting run off the field again. And they never scored, King. So there was free beer all night, you say. Holy cow. Man, I wish I was in Iowa watching that one. That would have been a lot of fun. I probably wouldn't remember much of the game, but definitely worth it for those Iowa fans because they probably don't want to remember that game. I will say in all sincerity, and I know we talked about this in the build-up last week, King, for those Iowa fans, I know we're making a joke, hey, they probably want to forget it. You were in the Big Ten championship game, and that's a big accomplishment. You've been there now 2 out of the last 3 years, and a couple more times, a little bit farther back than that. It's going to be very, very hard for Iowa and a lot of programs in the Big Ten to make the championship game moving forward. We've talked about that. That's not to say they can't do it. They certainly can, but they don't have the West division to get through now. Now it's the top two teams in the conference. So not only are you contending with Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, you're contending with Washington, who's going to the playoff, Oregon, who only lost this year to Washington, USC, who you expect to return to blue blood, well, not return to blue blood status, they are a blue blood, but return to the level of play you'd expect from a blue blood, right? UCLA coming into the conference. Like, golly, it's going to be hard to make it to Indianapolis moving forward for not just Iowa, but everybody. So hopefully, despite the score, they were able to enjoy that a little bit because you don't know when you're going to get back. We said the same thing about Purdue last year. So, and then, yeah, the other games, King, not a whole lot for me to add. Really, the only in the Power Five, the only upset on Saturday, I believe, was Alabama over Georgia. And again, people aren't like super shocked by that, right? My number made it Georgia -2. And I remember talking like last week about don't take this thing for granted. The model says Georgia's better. My eye says Georgia's better. The last time I said that about this matchup, though, was the 2021 SEC Championship game. We know how that ended up. This one ended up the same way. King, you alluded to it, though. Liberty, they're the New Year's Six rep. Alabama does enough to get into the CFP. Let's get into it, man. Let's talk about it. So the College Football Playoff Selection Committee takes Michigan -1. They put Washington at -2. And then, King, we see #3 come up on the board, and I saw it was Texas. I knew right then and there who was going to be at #4, King. I really thought that Alabama was going to be #3 or #5. I really, really thought they were going to be 3 or 5. And here's why, King. I assumed Michigan was going to be 1, Washington was going to be 2. The selection committee ranks teams, they vote on teams in groups of 3. I thought it's possible after this win against Georgia in the SEC championship game and how Alabama has built up their resume. I was going to say how they played down the stretch, but it was just a week and a half ago that it took a fourth and goal from the 31 to beat a 6-6 Auburn team. I get it. That's a road game, rivalry, big time atmosphere. I understand all that. The bottom line is it took fourth and goal from the 31 to beat a 6-6 Auburn team. So it's not that Alabama was playing just lights out football all the way leading up to the SEC championship game, but they got it done in that game. I thought the committee might look at them and say, yeah, they're one of the best 3 teams. We're going to put them in that group, which would have meant now at 4, 5, 6, you're evaluating Florida State, Texas, and Georgia, right? And I thought, okay, if Alabama's at 3, Florida State gets in at 4, and then Texas, man, that stinks. Should have beat Oklahoma, I guess, is the rationale, and they're sitting there at #5. Or, King, I thought the committee would put the 3 undefeated teams, 13-0 teams, Michigan, Washington, Florida State, in the top grouping of 3. And then it was, okay, now you're looking at Texas, Alabama, Georgia. How's the committee stacking them up? They maybe honor the head-to-heads here. And Texas goes in at 4, Alabama at 5, Georgia at 6. That's why I thought Alabama was going to be 3 or 5. When I saw Texas show up at 3, King, my head dropped. And I literally, I thought to myself in that moment, Alabama's going to be #4. Of course, they went to 6. You knew they were going to go to 6 because there was no drama there. It was going to be Georgia. And then I sit there, I hold my breath, King. I'm praying I'm wrong. And I see Alabama flash up. And that means Florida State sits there at #5. King, for me, as I'm looking at my most deserving rankings, here was the final most deserving rankings, which honestly, it surprised me. I had Michigan number one. I had Alabama number two. Alabama rose from number seven in my most deserving to number two after beating Georgia by three at a neutral site. Really, really good win. The resumes are really, really close in this range this year. Alabama went to number two. I had Washington three, Florida State four, Texas five, Ohio State was actually six, Georgia was seven for me. I had Oregon down at 10, King. They were eight for me going into last week. Ole Miss slid up to eight, Missouri to nine, and Oregon fell to number 10. But if we're just looking at those top five there, I didn't like that I had Texas on the outside looking in. But I could look at it and say I've been open about the willingness to make flips and switches based on head to head if we can honor that without disrupting other teams. Alabama at 2, Texas at 5. Granted, their raw rating here is not separated by a lot. Alabama's a 1.005, Texas is a 0.996. Like, there's not a lot separating these resumes, but because there's two teams in between, I'm not going to justify flipping it. I've also said I view these as a starting point for conversation, not the end-all be-all. So, King, if it was up to me, I would have put Michigan in. I would have put Washington in. I would have put Florida State in at three. If you want to argue they're four, okay. And I would have put Texas in. And here's why, King. I look at it and I say, Alabama, great win against Georgia. You're the SEC champions, one loss on the year. 9 times out of 10, that's going to get you in the playoff. This year, we had a very unique set of circumstances, and I could have looked Alabama in the eye and said, you should have beat Texas at home. I'm sorry. It was a great year. You should have beat Texas at home. If you wanted to put Alabama in because you think they're just unequivocally one of the four best teams in the country, I still think Florida State goes in from my most deserving standpoint, and then you can look Texas in the eye and say, Texas, great year. You had a phenomenal non-conference win at Alabama. You're the Big 12 champions. Great year. Most years this gets you in. You should have beat Oklahoma in the Red River Shootout. You can look at both of those teams and say, you should have won this game. You did not. Therefore, you are left out. King, the committee looked at Florida State and said, your quarterback shouldn't have gotten hurt. That's what they said to Florida State. To me, that's a crime. Because Florida State did everything that you asked them to do. They were perfect. They went 13-0. They won a Power 5 championship. Is the ACC equal to the Big 10, equal to the SEC, equal to the Pac-12, equal to the Big 12? Probably not. I mean, it doesn't matter, King. They're the 13-0 Power 5 champions. And you say, okay, the ACC's weak. Maybe. Clemson was down this year. Sure, I'll give you that. It's hard to argue that they weren't. They played LSU at a neutral site. Mind you, they played Florida on the road. It's not their fault Florida was 6-6. They're actually pretty, or 5-7, 6-6. It's not their fault that Florida didn't have a great year. Florida played an incredibly difficult schedule. Number one most difficult schedule in the country by my preseason numbers. Haven't run the postseason yet. But Florida's still a good team, and you're on the road, and you get that done. Not to mention the final 2 3/4 games that you played this year, 3/4 of the North Alabama game, the entire Florida game, the entire Louisville game. You're playing with a backup, if not a third string quarterback, and you found ways to win. King, it bothers me a ton that Florida State was left out. I feel terrible for them. And it was so patronizing of everybody on that screen to keep saying, I feel so bad for Florida State. I take that back. It wasn't patronizing for everybody on the screen to say it. It was patronizing for Boo Corrigan, who is the selection committee chair, who represents the committee, speaks for the committee, for him to say, you know, we agonized over it. It was a tough decision. We felt bad. It was like, dang, are we really doing this? Please do not say that, because you had the ability, you had the power to not do that, and you did. If anybody else wants to say we feel bad for Florida State, myself or anybody on TV, okay, because we had no power. We had nothing to do with the decision. We could not have made it differently. The committee had every chance to do the right thing, in my opinion, and put Florida State in the playoff, and they didn't. King, I've been going forever. I got two more things I want to talk on. If you are going to tell me, committee, that you took Alabama over Florida State because we think Alabama is a better team here moving forward at full strength than Florida State is without their quarterback, one, you are prioritizing what you think you know, even if I agree with it or not. You're prioritizing what you think you know over what you actually know. What you think you know is that Alabama is a better team than Florida State, especially since Florida State doesn't have their quarterback. What you actually know is Florida State went 13-0 this year, did everything you asked for, won a Power 5 championship, and you decided, we're going to value what we think we know better. I take issue with that, but But let's get past that, King. Let's say, okay, the committee's protocol says they need to take the best teams. Okay, sure. That's what your protocol says. You haven't done that in the first 9 years of the playoff, but okay, let's run with the premise that you're going to take the four best teams. That's why you took Alabama over Florida State. I'm sorry. You're telling me that Georgia is not one of the four best teams in the country? You're telling me that Ohio State, whose only loss, by the way, is on the road to your number one team by six with the ball, 30 seconds left, chance to win the game. You're telling me Ohio State is not one of the four best teams? My power ratings disagree with that. SP Plus disagrees with that. FBI disagrees with that. FPI disagrees with that. A lot of power ratings disagree with that. So if you're going to tell me what the four best teams, okay. But then you left out some of the four best teams. And not only did you leave them out, you ranked Florida State ahead of them. If you're going to say Alabama's ranked ahead of Florida State, then my goodness, Georgia's ahead of Florida State. Ohio State's ahead of Florida State. Oregon's ahead of ahead of Florida State. All for the same reasons. All those teams go ahead of Florida State. Okay, that's my last thing on Florida State. Here I am going, taking the committee's rationale, though, King, and applying it to the Liberty. You talk about Liberty versus SMU versus what we thought maybe was Tulane. SMU beats Tulane. Okay, that knocks Tulane out. Now we're looking at these two teams, Liberty and SMU. Who's the G5 rep? When asked, Boo Corrigan, the selection committee chair who speaks for the committee, when asked, why Liberty over SMU? The answer, to quote, Liberty just kept finding ways to win. They just kept finding ways to win games. That's why they're the New Year's Six rep from the G5, because they kept finding ways to win games. Hang on now. I thought it was about the best teams. Because if you're talking about who's the better team between Liberty and SMU, ask me, ask Bill Connolly, ask Brian Fermo, ask anybody at ESPN Analytics, ask anybody at Vegas. SMU is going to be favored on a neutral field against Liberty. Shoot, SMU would be favored at Liberty. But you're saying Liberty just found ways to win, so we're going to reward them. I'm totally cool with that. I have Liberty number 16 in my most deserving rankings. That's the highest ranked G5 team in my most deserving. I'm not mad that you gave Liberty the opportunity. Sorry, that you rewarded them with the opportunity to play in the New Year's Six. They earned it. They have a resume that is better than any of those other G5 teams, even if those other G5 teams would be favored against them on a neutral field. But that's not what you did at 4-5. So, King, I have just gone on a rant. I will take a timeout and let you respond and or give your own thoughts. I am sorry. I did not mean to go that long. I feel very passionately that for the first time, the committee got it wrong. First time in 10 years, the committee got it wrong.
Well, you do not have to apologize, Kelly. That was straight gas, if you ask me. That was a fire rant right there. And I will say, you hit the nail on the head. I think that my thoughts that are very similar to my thoughts and so many people here around the country. Your point that you made was really what I was going to hone in on, was is that the committee seemed like they were making this decision based off of what they thought and based off of what the Vegas lines would say, but rather than the results that played out on the field this year. I'm not really upset that Alabama is in the playoff from a high-level perspective, because if you ask me, I do think Alabama is probably one of the four best teams in the country. That's not my issue with it. But as so many people have said, it completely takes away the premise of that these games matter. Florida State was a 13-0 Power 5 conference champion. I was talking to my Alabama buddies the other day. We're talking head-to-head. Oh, we're going to get another Michigan State matchup, Bama-Michigan State. If you look at the lines, okay, that might be the case, but it still doesn't matter. And Florida State head-to-head versus Alabama, I agree with your point from the method that you laid out. Having Alabama at 3 or number 5, I think, would have made the most sense in that situation. But even if you're looking at Florida State head-to-head versus Alabama, you mentioned the similar opponent in LSU. You mentioned that they went on the road in Gainesville to play Florida. They played Clemson earlier in the year. It's not like there is a gaping difference between the quality of Alabama's schedule versus Florida State's schedule. And Alabama lost a home game to Texas. It made no sense to me. And for them to punish Florida State like they did strictly because of that quarterback and what they thought, what they think was going to happen in those games, it's wrong. Your opinion there, your point that you made about Boo Corrigan and how he discussed the group of five representation in the New Year's Six Bowl, I did not see that. That right there alone should be a fireable offense. That is completely contradicting exactly what you set forward as a standard when you released your four college football playoff teams. So I've been all up in arms about it as well. I just never thought we would get to this point where they say the criteria is how you play on the field and winning football games. Florida State did absolutely nothing wrong this year other than sustain an injury to their star quarterback. So in my opinion, this whole thing, I'm actually happy to see it go now. I'm just give me the 12th team. I think this decision this year has made me sway my opinion on this even more. Even if the rankings would have been wrong, you would still at least give Florida State a shot at this. And at this point, if we're going to continue just to not have the standard criteria or year in, year out consistency that we're asking for, there's no reason for us to continue with this. So I think my opinion really has changed on this, and it's unfortunate because I was a more so stay at four guy for a while. But unless we have some sort of standardization here, we can't continue like this.
The irony, King, of we've had 10 years of a four-team playoff with five power conferences. The irony of next year going to a 12-team playoff when for the first time we would have four power conferences. Like that to me, I mean, I don't know what to do other than laugh. And I'll say, because King, we did a whole episode on the merits of four versus six versus 12 versus a BCS style of just two, right? And that was a really fun episode. We had Andrew on and Clint on, and we debated the pros and cons of each. My biggest thing here is because the regular season, I hold it in such high regard. I know you do too, King. Like that's what college football is all about. College football is about Saturdays in the fall. It's about the regular season. It's about every Saturday counts. It's about every game matters. And you're right. It's really hard for me to look inside myself and tell myself every game mattered this year, because for Florida State, did any game matter, right? Like, because they went 13-0 and they got left out of a chance to win a national championship as a Power 5 conference champion. My only thing on it, King, but is I get what you're saying, and but I think the four power conferences moving forward changes the dynamic certainly, but I will also say in my own moral defense of the stay at four group, which again, it's a lost cause. We're going to 12. We know it. I've accepted it. Why should I change my philosophical stance because the committee made a mistake, right? Like, to me, there were enough spots in the playoff this year to do the right thing and put Florida State in. The committee chose not to. So now there's a lot of people saying, well, now, you know what? Forget it. Like, give me 12. And I'm like, I hear you. I really do. But just because the committee made a mistake, now I have to change what I think is best. Like, 12 is a lot, man. 12 is a lot. It's where we're going. There's no sense in arguing it or trying to break it down. Like, we're going to 12. And guess what? I'm going to watch those games. I'm going to get excited for those games. But I might not be as enthralled with every single Saturday during the regular season, knowing what the stakes are here or what it might mean for the playoff implications now. Although, to your point, King, maybe I wouldn't have been there anyway after this year because we saw what just happened to Florida State. So it's disappointing. I think that's probably the word that I would use to sum it up. Disappointing, disheartening. It's sad, King. And I'm not a Florida State fan. You're not a Florida State fan. Many people in the college football sphere aren't Florida State fans, but it's really hard for us to, I think, fathom. And I think that's even what Jim Phillips, ACC commissioner, said. It's unfathomable. It's hard for us to wrap our heads around this idea that you can go undefeated as a power conference champion and not have the opportunity to compete for a national championship in the four-team playoff era. Because I can hear Auburn fans from the 2004 season saying, hey, wait a minute now. We were a Power 5 champion, or back then a BCS conference champion that went undefeated and we were left out. Like, I get it, man. And that's not fair either. That's not right either. But in the four-team era, we hadn't seen that. And it was hard to stomach, I think. But yeah, I think to end it on a positive note, King, as I look at my most deserving rankings and you look at the teams that are in the New Year's Six Bowls, I actually have, like, the committee has my top 11 most deserving ranked teams in a New Year's Six Bowl, plus the G5 rep, Liberty, who I have as the highest ranked G5. So under our current construction of the New Year's Six Bowls, the 12 teams that are competing in them are my 12 highest, most deserving ranked eligible teams for that. So while I vehemently disagree with one of the playoff participants, and again, I'm not even arguing that Alabama shouldn't be in or Texas shouldn't be in. I'm arguing that Florida State should be at the expense of one of them. Again, in my own world, it's at the expense of Alabama, because King, this could have been a 5-second conversation, and I'm not suggesting it should have been. It could have been 5 seconds. All right, guys, committee, we have five power champions. Three of them are undefeated. Okay, they're three in. The other two, they each have one loss and they played each other. The team that won that game, they're the fourth team. Boom. It could have been as simple as that. I am not suggesting it should have been that simple. There is no way you should boil it down to just that. However, they ended up making it the hardest decision of the 10-year playoff. They ended up making the only wrong decision we've seen in the final rankings in the 10-year playoff. And the right answer was right in front of them that could have been reached in 5 seconds. To me, that's something that's difficult to swallow. But okay, I've said my piece on it. King, any last thoughts from you about the New Year's Six as a whole? Because again, I think they got the right 12 teams in the New Year's Six. I can argue with, you know, the four and all that, but I think the right 12 are there. Thoughts on the New Year's Six, which we will break down later on the show, not today, in a later episode. Final thoughts, New Year's Six, CFP, anything you got?
Initial reaction, I don't really have any issues with the teams or matchups in the New Year's Six. If you're asking me from an excitement, entertainment standpoint, and by no means does this trying to degrade or bring down the New Year's Six Bowls any means, I can't say I'm overly excited for some of these matchups. I think the one that I'm most excited about has to be Penn State Ole Miss. I think that's probably the biggest high-profile game outside of the college football playoff, but as we were talking about, Kelly, it's a huge, huge deal this year. College football playoff moving back to New Year's Day. Very, very excited about that versus the New Year's Eve slate.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. Listen, and I don't even know, King. I think maybe they put out what the dates of the games are going to be in future years of the 12-team playoff. Now you have to add a couple rounds right of the playoff. I think they put that out, and I don't believe there's any New Year's Eve in their planning-wise. I certainly hope not because, yeah, listen, I'm going to be watching no matter what day it's on. You know that. King, we were at a friend's wedding on New Year's Eve. We're on our phones at the table watching. I think it was Michigan and
Georgia.
Georgia. Yep. Yeah, that year. I think that's the game we were watching. Like, we're going to find a way to watch, but man, that makes it hard. Like, you've got the girl. I've got the family. Like, we got things where they want to be doing on New Year's Eve. I hate to be that guy that's like, I got to be in front of the TV. But so come on, guys, help us out. Let's not schedule on that. So I'm very excited about it too, King, that it's on New Year's Day this year. That'll be much, much better. All right, King, we've got Army Navy this week. That's the only FBS game on the slate the way it should be, as we talked about. But before we break it down, King, it is almost Christmas time. And I'm sure there are people out there who have others in their life who are big college football fans or just want to support the school, their alma mater or the school they rooted for growing up. Whatever it is, everyone's got their team or teams. A great Christmas gift could be some new apparel maybe for that team, Kinger. Where can our friends go that are in need of maybe a gift this holiday season?
Christmas is fast approaching. 19 days now until the big holiday. And if you are anything like me, you have done probably little to no Christmas shopping up until this point. So the reality just hit me yesterday. We are running out of days. What's a go-to gift for your brothers, dad, uncles, anybody, aunts, uncles, anybody in the family that's looking for some new gear? Check out Home Field. Same promotion we've been running all year. Using code VARIETYSPORTS, 15% off to first-time buyers. You can't go wrong gifting the gift of new apparel for the team that your loved ones are fans of. You can't beat it. I'm definitely going to take advantage of this, make sure I capitalize and give some good gifts. Make your family and friends happy this year. Check out Home Field Apparel.
America's game, King. Army, Navy, for the first time, I do believe, from Gillette Stadium in Massachusetts. First time it's been in Massachusetts, I believe, in the history of this series. Navy leads it all time, 62, 54, and 7 ties, but they've split the last four. Navy, King, they won 14 straight in this series from 2002 to 2015. King, what do you make of America's game here? It is Army-Navy. I do believe Army is about a 3-point favorite at time of recording.
Yep, you are correct, Kelly. New England hosting the game, Commander-in-Chief trophy. First time in 125 years. You are correct. Army sitting at a 3-point favorite. Over-under in this game, sitting at 27.5. Vegas very much anticipating a low-scoring game here. But honestly, there's a couple evenly matched teams. Going to come right out and say, I'm going to get on Army minus 3 this week. You got to bet the Commander-in-Chief game. It's just tradition right here. I think I'm 0-2 the last 2 years. I've been on Navy the last 2 years, so we're gonna switch it up. And I like the Black Knights this week. Both teams are somewhat limited offensively. In typical fashion, both are primarily going to lean on the ground game this week. But I think Army's found a little something these last few weeks, and I think we see that momentum carry into this week. The Black Knights have won 3 straight. To get themselves to 5-6, neither of these teams will be bowl eligible, but they had back-to-back weeks, rough October, getting shut out to Troy and LSU. They really struggled versus a not very good Mass team, but they did have a nice finish for them, and the defense has been playing better. They've done a much better job producing pressure with that defensive line. They've been better against the run towards the end of the season. Army really did struggle with that earlier in the year, and at times They, in that respect, they came in, coming to this game sub 100 in the rushing defense, but they have been more efficient specifically on early downs, putting teams in tough situations towards the back half of this season. Ty Tyvala and the Navy offense, they probably will be able to get going a little bit this week, them down, but we're going to see what type of defense we get from Army this week. Are we going to get one of those early season performances, or are we going to get continue this streak of better play that they've had as they've winded down the year? Navy, on the other hand, they have been much better on the defensive side of the ball. They have a top 30 ranked rushing unit on defense, but we're still not talking about an elite unit here. And I think Army will find ways to be successful with their offense as well. They've started to implement some more trickery. They've thrown the ball a little bit, as we've seen in some of these highlights, to wind down the year. So I like Army here. This is a back and forth. I don't actually hate the over in this game at all. I almost feel like you have to bet over 20.5, but the game's pretty simple year in and year out. Who runs the ball more effectively? Who limits turnovers? Jeff Munkin, 5-4 in his career against Navy. I like the Army. I like Army in this one. I'm going to lay the 3 points with them, and I think they get it done and regain the Commander-in-Chief trophy.
King, in general, I believe college football games should be played on campus. We've talked about that before. However, there are three regular season games that I prefer to be at a neutral site. That would be Texas-Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl, Florida-Georgia in Jacksonville, and Army-Navy. This game right here, King, I love it at the neutral site. It feels like we're losing traditions, King, left and right in college football these days. Not this one. This game will continue to be played on its own weekend, even after Army joins the AAC as a football-only member next year. I'm excited about that. I do believe, if I remember correctly, reading, like, that was very important to both these schools. Like, hey, yeah, Army, interest in coming. AAC has interest in adding them as a football member. They really want to keep this game on the weekend of its own. I am curious, though, King, what happens if one or both of these teams are in the conference championship game picture? Because actually, I think they said it's going to be a non-conference game every year, potentially. And so maybe that would take that out of there if I remember back. So now that I've said that, I think we're good. I think it's a non-conference. Certainly, you can't make it a conference game if it's after the conference championship. So they're ahead of me on that. They thought that one through. King, in this game, okay, before I get to this game, real quick, preseason, I projected 6.1 regular season wins for Army, 5.9 for Navy. Both these teams enter this game at 5-6. They both need the win to meet my preseason realistic expectations. More importantly, though, because be honest, they probably don't care too much about that. I'm interested in it. They probably don't care. Army, as you said, playing for the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. If they win, they get it. If they lose, I think it becomes a tie. Air Force then retains it. So a lot on the line for Army in this one, not just meeting my preseason realistic expectations. Unsurprisingly, King, with that over-under you just mentioned, my numbers like the defenses in this game. I have the Army defense as slightly better, currently ranking a season-best number 53. That Navy offense, which is the worst unit in this game, ranks number 127. It's the worst opposing offense that this Army defense has faced all season. Bottom line, King, my numbers have Army minus 2.5. So right around the Vegas line. I actually think it was 2.5 for a bit before it crept up to 3. Playing for the Commander-in-Chief's trophy, I think the Black Knights have just enough to get it done in this game, King. No confidence picks in this one, King, because that competition has ended. We will have our regular season winner join us later on this bowl season to pick the New Year's Six and CFP games. But King, speaking of the confidence picks, speaking of best bets, I think you just mentioned that you're going to likely be on Army here later.
We're already on him.
That's you're already on it. Yep. It's already in. So you got one more here. King, maybe this is a good time just to let everybody know, if you've got it handy, how did this year go? I know the start of the year, you were frustrated, but we picked it up, right? I mean, as we progressed through the year, where did we end up with bowl season still to come? Where'd we end up after the regular season?
Surprisingly, Kelly, we turned out to be not in quite as bad of a situation as I thought I was going to be in. If we're being honest, it's not great by any means. The official college football season record was 52-56-4. But when I went through the slate this weekend, I mean, I was sitting after the night slate on September 1st. So week one, we still had games on Sunday and Monday. I was sitting at 2-11 to start the year. So 9 games in the hole, 3 days into college football season, or 3 official days which games have been played. That was not the start you were looking for. And I had a couple down weeks, you know, here and there throughout the season. But we were pretty consistent above 500, and I'd say 2/3 of the weeks this year. And so to battle back, sit down, be where we're at, only 4 games back with bowl season, which bowl season I have done very well the last 2 years. I say that now. Things are obviously subject to change, but we've had some good success in bowl season. So if we can find a way to get ourselves back in that winning category above 500 to end the year, I'm going to be very happy. And you mentioned to me, hey, maybe next year, let's not come out firing all guns blazing week one. And maybe that's going to be some advice maybe I will heed going forward, or something I'll think about going forward, because, man, you were right. I was in bad headspace. I was like, oh boy, this is going to be a long year. But you never stop fighting. That's gambling. And we turned out in an okay position. Still lost a little bit of money this year, but it could have been a lot worse.
Lost a little bit so far, but we still got games to go, as you mentioned. And King, I think you're right. I mean, to be what, 9 games under, like you said, just right out of the gate. I mean, you finished less than that. So from that point on, you were positive, right? And I think, like you said right there, the lesson may be just something to carry forward. And this is, you know, I talk about this with the model too, and the power ratings. There's a lot of uncertainty early in the year about what teams are. You're trying to project what these teams are. By the end of the year, the model's dialed in. It knows exactly who these teams are more times than not. The issue is Vegas is more dialed in too, right? But I think that's good advice to consider what you just said about maybe considering taking it a little bit easier, having a smaller card early in the year as we try to figure out who these teams are. And then once we have a better feel for it, now you can start working with it a little bit better and seeing where there's value from either my model, others out there, or just the way you go about handicapping too with your knowledge, your gut feel, and how you've been successful in the past. So I think it's great. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in bowl season. You have been successful in recent years, as you said, and I'm sure that will continue. We got to think positively. We'll get that back over the 52.5% that we want to be at to make it a positive year in college football. King, any last thoughts, King, about anything this regular season? Because this is it. After this game, we got bowl season, and that will be a wrap for us for the year. So any final thoughts on the regular season? I actually have one, but I want to hear if you've got any.
No real big thoughts or statements here. It's crazy we're already at this point. Let's get this weekend going with an Army cover to get this bowl season. Well, it's not bowl season officially underway. Light week for us this week. We still coming up on 45 minutes. We had plenty we talk about, and we make use of the time well, like we always do. But things are about to get real hectic for us, specifically for you here these next couple weeks. I think we've got 8 or 10 bowl games, I think you said, to break down next week. And then the week after, things are going to be coming real crazy. But got a lot of good content coming out here, a lot of games still to debate, and let's end the season on a high note.
No doubt, King. Yes, it's going to be a very fun bowl season, as it always is. My final thoughts on the regular season here. It felt like, King, a season of what ifs. It felt like we were so close to having so many big-time upsets. When you look back on it, we really didn't have that many at all. There were so many close calls for a lot of the big contenders. King, we had 3 Power 5 undefeated conference champions. Like, the last time we had that, I guess maybe 2019, right, when we had LSU, Clemson, and Ohio State. So that was a more recent example, I guess. Those teams were dominant, though. And that made for a very exciting semifinal game between Clemson and Ohio State, one I'd like to forget as a Buckeye fan, but a great game as a neutral. And then, obviously, LSU was just kind of next level with that offense that year, at the end of the year especially. So that year comes to mind, but those were dominant teams. We didn't have the dominant teams this year, but they also just found ways to win. And I would say that mattered, but it didn't for Florida State, I guess. That's okay. It was still a fun regular season. We didn't have as many upsets and chaos as I think we usually get. It delivered the controversy at the end, that's for sure, because if there's one thing college football will do, it is keep you on the edge of your seat till the very end. It was fun, King. Really enjoyed it. Looking forward to bowl season. And yes, lots to break down. Next week, we'll have 3 episodes of bowl season. We got next week, the week after that, and then in the final week, we'll have our regular season pick'em champion join us, and we'll break down the New Year's 6 and the CFP. But before then, enjoy Army-Navy America's game here. It gets its standalone, as it should. It will wrap up the 2023 college football regular season.